Our scripture reading this evening is from Luke chapter 17. We shall read the first 19 verses, and our text is verse 11 to verse 19, the account of the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus Christ. Let's read the first 19 verses of Luke chapter 17. Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offences will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of those little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant flying or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. And now begins the text. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thus far I read God's word. The Gospel of Luke, beloved, presents Jesus Christ as the seeking shepherd who came to save and seek those who were lost. In chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel, Jesus Christ gives us 3 parables which illustrate this point. These parables are well known. The parable of the lost sheep, where a shepherd goes out of his way to find that one lost sheep who wandered away from the fold. The parable of the lost coin, where a woman turns her house upside down in order to find that one lost coin. And the parable of the prodigal son, where a father loses his son and receives him again penitent with great joy. These 3 parables Jesus told in response to the Pharisees. For the Pharisees were offended at Jesus because he received sinners. But the Pharisees ought to have been the ones who were receiving those sinners. The Pharisees were the leaders in Israel, and they ought to be the ones who were seeking those who were lost in Israel and bringing them the gospel of salvation. But the Pharisees, being self-righteous hypocrites, were not interested in that. So Jesus tells these three parables to rebuke the Pharisees for their self-righteous attitude toward those who were lost in Israel. It's striking that the very first event recorded by Luke after these three parables is this account of the 10 lepers who were healed. For you see, in this incident, Jesus Christ was seeking and saving one who was lost. When Jesus Christ entered this village between Galilee and Samaria, he was seeking out one who was lost in the misery and corruption and pollution of his sin. And that's why he went to that particular village. And Jesus Christ was on his way to Jerusalem, where he would lay down his life to save this particular lost sinner. Jesus Christ, as the seeking shepherd, was God's servant. And to this end, God directed his steps. It was therefore no accident that Jesus Christ went this direction to Jerusalem. It was no accident that Jesus Christ went to this particular village between Samaria and Galilee. For there he must find this particular sinner and save him. Nor was it a coincidence that as he was going towards Jericho, he met blind Bartimaeus, for he too was a sinner whom Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. Nor was it an accident that as he went into Jericho in the next chapter, that he met Zacchaeus, for he too was a sinner whom Christ came to seek and to save. And several weeks after this account, it would not be an accident either that Jesus Christ would be crucified next to a particular thief. For that too was one of those sinners whom Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. That thief must be brought into the kingdom of heaven. But not everyone whom Jesus Christ healed in his earthly ministry was one whom he came to seek and to save. That is what is taught in our text. Jesus Christ did not come to seek and to save all lost sinners, but only particular ones, those given to him by the Father. For we see in the text that there were 10 lepers. 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus Christ. But only one of them was one whom Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. Not all 10 of them were elect. Not all 10 of them were those whom Christ came to save. But Jesus Christ healed all of them. All 10 of them at their request. Outwardly, they all received exactly the same. They all received physical health. All of them had their leprosy removed by this miracle of Jesus Christ. But only one received salvation. Only one received the words of Jesus Christ, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Only one believed. The 9 did not believe. And they had no excuse for not believing. Because here was Jesus Christ, who was able to heal leprosy. And everyone knew, who read the Old Testament and was familiar with the Old Testament law, that only God was able to save someone from leprosy. This ought to have been proof, undeniable evidence, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But 9 of them did not believe in him. 9 of them went home healed of their disease, but not saved. This explains Jesus' question in verse 17. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? All 10 ought to have come back to thank Jesus Christ for their salvation. Salvation from leprosy. But only one came back. And he was a most unlikely candidate for salvation. He was a leper, which is a picture of the corruption and pollution of sin. But also he was a Samaritan. He was not a member of the covenant community of Israel. Rather, he was a despised and hated foreigner, a Samaritan. And yet, he, unlike the nine Jews, was saved. We know this because of his faith. And we know he had faith because he produced that evidence of faith, which is gratitude. Let's then consider this text under the theme, the abounding gratitude of the cleansed leper. Let's look at the cause of his gratitude, the manifestation of his gratitude, and the underlying reason for his gratitude. The abounding gratitude of the cleansed leper. The cause, the manifestation, and the underlying reason. We can understand this man's gratitude only if we first understand his misery. He was a leper. All 10 of them were lepers. This man was miserable in the first place because of the symptoms of leprosy. Leprosy was the most horrible disease known to the people of that day. It was a disease which started off very small. You would get a small white spot on your hand or perhaps on your forehead. It would look rather innocuous at the beginning. Perhaps you wouldn't even notice it. But it would spread. It would spread relentlessly through the entire body, eating away at the person's flesh and causing him to become thoroughly miserable. He would be covered in sores and in scales. That's what leprosy is. The Greek word for scales is where we get our word leprosy. And the leper would then become horribly deformed because it would cause the leper's fingers and toes to fall off in the later stages. And eventually his limbs would fall off. And he would become thoroughly miserable. And there was no stopping this disease. Once it began, it continued until it killed the victim in a slow and painful process which led inevitably to death. For there was no cure. This disease made a person to be completely revolting in the sight of those around him. It caused him to give off a horrible smell. The smell of decaying flesh. And it caused the leper's voice to become hoarse, so he could not speak except with a croak. That is what leprosy did to a person. And these 10 people whom Jesus met in this village, all of them had leprosy. Numbers 12, verse 12, gives us a vivid description of leprosy. There, Miriam has just been smitten with leprosy as a judgment of God. And Aaron, her brother, says, "Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." That's what a leper was. Someone who was half dead. Someone as good as dead, on their way to miserable death. So the disease itself caused him to be miserable. The symptoms of the disease were horrible. But also, leprosy made a person a social outcast. If you had leprosy, you had to go out of the camp. You were thrust out of the camp of the people of Israel, and you could have no fellowship with the people of God or with God himself, because you were declared unclean. That's what the Old Testament law said. Someone who had leprosy was unclean. And they had to walk around crying out, "Unclean! Unclean!" in order to avoid any contamination with their fellows. Such was the wretched condition of these 10 men whom Jesus Christ met on his way to Jerusalem. They were facing a slow and lingering death, and they had no fellowship with the people of God. But those two things are bad enough. A horrible disease and living a life of horrible loneliness in the wilderness. But the misery of leprosy went deeper than that. Leprosy was a picture of sin. A picture of the corruption and pollution of sin. And that is why God gave that to the people of Israel as a picture to show them the seriousness of sin. The Old Testament law gives detailed instructions, whole chapters, on how to detect leprosy. As we said, it started off rather small. All kinds of rules and regulations were written down in the book of Leviticus whereby you could then detect leprosy. A slight discoloration of the skin, perhaps one of the hairs on your hand would turn white. That could be enough for you to be declared a leper and thrust out of the camp. Immediate and probably permanent exile was the result of that diagnosis by the priest. God was then teaching his people that leprosy is a picture of sin, and that sin is so serious that even though it looks small when it begins, it must be thrust out of the people of God. There can be no toleration of sin. It must be thrown out, even in its beginning stages. It must be nipped in the bud, we would say. Leprosy then shows the pollution and the corruption of sin. Sin corrupts our entire nature. It spreads throughout our entire nature and makes us totally depraved. It corrupts everything it touches and makes us completely unable to have fellowship with the living God. For God in heaven is holy. And so, by nature, we are all spiritual lepers. Sin is incurable. It spreads throughout the entire body, and there is no cure, and there is no stopping it, except for the sovereign grace and mercy of God. Sinners in and of themselves cannot cure themselves of leprosy or do anything to save themselves from leprosy and are headed for eternal destruction in hell if God does not save them from their sins. This is a picture then of sin, the leper is. So the leper was miserable. But the leper, we read in the text, was healed. We read of the miracle of Jesus Christ healing these 10 men. As Jesus Christ entered this village, these 10 men approached him. They were covered from head to toe in sores and wounds. And they looked like, and they sounded like, and they smelled like lepers. And they cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus turned around and looked at them. They did not run away in the opposite direction, which is what most Jews would have done. He does not touch them or do anything dramatic. He simply says to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Why the priests? The reason is, it was the priest's job in the Old Testament to declare a man clean who had before been a leper. As I said, there were all kinds of laws in the Old Testament whereby you could detect leprosy. And there was an entire chapter devoted to what you should do when someone says that they have been healed of leprosy. So the priest could detect it, the priest could declare it healed, but the priest himself could not heal it. So Jesus tells them to go to the priest because the ceremonial law had not yet been abrogated and Jesus himself was under that law. But this word, "go to the priests," must have given the lepers some hope. Because there's no point going to the priest if you're full of leprosy and you're not going to be cured. You're wasting your own time and you're wasting the priest's time. So these 10 men went off looking for the priest. And the text tells us in a few simple words that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. Those words seem rather simple in our Bible. They were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. We have to put ourselves back 2,000 years ago. Imagine the scene. Imagine these 10 lepers. They're walking away from Jesus Christ. And what must they have felt? They felt suddenly health surging through their bodies. They looked at their hands and they saw that their hands were changing color from this white leprous color to a normal pink healthy color. Before their eyes they were changing. Perhaps their fingers, which had fallen off, were growing back. It was an amazing, a wondrous miracle that Jesus Christ performed. Notice it says that they were not healed, but cleansed. The lepers now were cleansed from a horrible ceremonial uncleanness which had barred them from life in Israel. Now they could go back and worship God in the temple, which they could not do before. Now they could return to their families and enjoy social and religious life in Israel because they were now clean. Or to be more precise, 9 of them were clean. One of them, who was a Samaritan, was not clean because he was not a Jew. And he therefore would not be acceptable in Israel because he was a foreigner. And as the Jews would have called him, he was an unclean dog. That's what the Jews thought of the Samaritans. But what is a miracle? What is the significance of this miracle? Really, everything that God does is a miracle. The entire universe is, in one sense, a miracle. Everything that we see in the creation ought to startle us, ought to fill us with amazement because God created it from nothing in the beginning. But to be more specific and to narrow it down, a miracle is an extraordinary work of God which points to His work of salvation. That's what a miracle is, an extraordinary work of God, one which startles our attention. That's what this was. You would have been startled, beloved, if 2,000 years ago you had seen those 10 lepers suddenly being made whole before your very eyes. No wonder the people of that day followed Jesus around in huge crowds to see miracles. They were startling events. But perhaps because we have read them so often in our Bibles, we are no longer startled by them. Perhaps they are so commonplace to us that when we read them in the New Testament, we simply read past them as if, oh yes, Jesus Christ did a miracle. That's very interesting. We've lost the wonder. Perhaps the children still have some wonder because they are hearing them for the first time in catechism. And then they are excited to hear about all the wonderful miracles that Jesus did. But we too, we who are older, ought to still have wonder when we read about the miracles of Jesus Christ. For He was able to heal a leper, which was an incurable disease, with simply a word. Is that not astounding, beloved? Simply a word and leprosy was gone. But that's not the real miracle. That's astounding enough in itself, the healing of leprosy. But what did it point to? What was the purpose of it? The purpose of the miracle of healing a leper was this. It pointed to the greater miracle of salvation. Salvation. Compared to salvation, healing a leper is nothing. Leprosy, remember, points to the corruption and pollution of sin. And therefore, healing a leper points to the cleansing of one who is corrupt in his sins. That's what salvation is. Therefore, this miracle, like all such miracles in the New Testament, points to the cross. It points to the cross where Jesus Christ cleansed us from all of our sins. That's the miracle which is on display here. Salvation from our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. There were two responses to this miracle. Two different responses. One leper, only one leper, responded with abounding gratitude. Look at what he did. He was walking over towards the priest with his other friends who were lepers before this. And he stops. And he turns around and he comes back to Jesus Christ. This would be probably his last opportunity to thank Jesus Christ in person. Because Jesus Christ was heading to Jerusalem. And this leper, who noticed the wonderful change in his life, was not going to let that opportunity pass him by. And so he comes back to thank Jesus Christ. And he glorifies God, the text says, verse 15. He glorifies God. He gives all praise and honor and glory to God because Jesus Christ came to glorify his heavenly Father. The text says also he glorified God with a loud voice. A loud voice. Before this, his voice was ruined because of leprosy and he could barely croak forth a pathetic cry for mercy. But now his voice is healed and he uses that voice to praise and to thank Jesus Christ. And he falls down at Jesus' feet. In an attitude of humility, he falls before Jesus Christ as the great King and worships at his feet, announcing to all the world that he is now a follower of Jesus Christ and he is going to devote his entire life to thanking and praising Jesus Christ who saved him from his leprosy and also from his sins. This was a public display of thanksgiving to the Son of God. That's what he did. But who was he? He was a Samaritan. Verse 15 ends with these words. And he was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They weren't true Jews. They weren't pure blood Jews. They were half-breeds. Half-breeds in the religious sense, and half-breeds in a racial sense. They did not worship the true God. They did not worship the true God in the place where he had said he should be worshipped, in the temple in Jerusalem. And they did not live in the promised land of Israel. And the Jews considered them to be unclean dogs. There was a whole long history of hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans, which went back for hundreds of years. And it was the same on both sides. The Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. And therefore, it is a wonder, utterly shocking, in fact, that we would find in this text that the only one who thanked Jesus Christ was a Samaritan. Not the Jews, but the Samaritans. This Samaritan had not objected to Jesus, who said, "Go and show yourself to the priest," even though no Jewish priest would have received him. He was not too embarrassed to ask a Jewish rabbi and healer for help, because he knew that there was no one else who could help him. He came to Jesus Christ, and he asked for mercy. And when he received that mercy, he was thankful for that mercy. But the nine lepers, the other nine, they did nothing. Nothing. They're walking away towards the priests, and suddenly they see that they have been healed. Probably they haven't walked very far before they've seen this. But they keep on walking. Keep on walking toward the priests. Maybe they even see that the one leper is going back to Jesus Christ, but they're not interested in going back to him. They keep on walking. As far as they're concerned, they now have what they wanted, which is health. And they're not interested in worshiping God or thanking Jesus Christ. But all they're interested in is the good health which they have received. And Jesus' response to them is indignation. Indeed, anger. Where are the nine? He says. Only one has come back to give glory to God, he says. Only one. Where are the others? Where's God's glory? God is being robbed of the glory which is his due. And Jesus Christ was therefore angry and indignant. And these men were Jews. They ought to have known better. They had no excuse. They were not Samaritans. They were Jews. Members of that nation to which God had promised salvation. Members of that nation to which God had promised to send the Messiah. And here he was, the Messiah, the long-promised Messiah, the one who could heal lepers, the one who could raise the dead, the one who had proved time and time again that he is the Messiah, and they do not believe on him. Shameful. Shameful that these men could receive such privileges, did not give forth any thanks to Jesus Christ, and did not recognize the Messiah when he came. But what about us, beloved? We have received such blessings and benefits from God. His word, his truth, the Reformed faith. Do we give thanks? How do we show our thanks? We ought to show our thanks by a thankful life of obedience to God and by fervent prayer. For we know that the Heidelberg Catechism tells us that living a life of thankfulness means obeying the Ten Commandments out of heartfelt gratitude to God and praying, which is the chief means of thankfulness. This Samaritan is an example of the boundless joy of the redeemed sinner. That's what he is. He rejoices at the change which has taken place in his life. Only moments before this, he was a miserable leper, covered in horrible disease, cut off from all human contact. The only friends he had were fellow lepers. And a picture of sin, of the corruption and misery of sin. And he remembered. He remembered what he was like. How could he forget? Only moments before this, he was a living corpse. The transformation in this leper was amazing. And therefore he was filled with joy and desire to give thanksgiving to the one who had saved him from his leprosy and given him new life. Beloved, do we remember our corrupt nature in which we were born and conceived? Often in the church, it's difficult for us to remember it because we cannot remember a time when we did not believe in Jesus Christ. We grew up in the church. We were catechized. We made confession of faith. And now we are living members of the body of Christ in the church. And perhaps there is no time in the past when we walked in gross public sin. And therefore we cannot really understand what this leper went through. But we should. All you have to do, And all I have to do is look within. And we will see the horrible corruption of our sin. It's still there. We still have the old sinful flesh. It still produces all manner of filthy works and words and desires. But it's being crucified, that flesh. It's being crucified. It no longer has the upper hand in us. It no longer has power over us. It's still there, but it's not dominant. And that's because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So remember what you were before. And look inside and see what you are by nature. And thank God that you are no longer this because of what Christ did on the cross to cleanse us from all of our sins. So this leper, he remembered what he was like, and he desired to praise his Savior. He desired to praise the one who had changed him from a miserable leper into one who is in perfect health. And nothing would prevent him from doing this. You can imagine this poor leper, a Samaritan, walking up to Jesus Christ, who is surrounded by Jews, admiring crowds who followed him all over the place to see his miracles. And you can imagine the disdain and the sneers that these Jews would show to this poor Samaritan leper. But he was not embarrassed. He would not be deterred to show his thanks to Jesus Christ. He came in front of them all, and with a loud voice, he thanked and praised Jesus Christ. And he had to overcome all the peer pressure of the other 9 lepers. For as when he walked away with them, they would not come back with him. He had to go in the minority to thank Jesus Christ all by himself, with no one else accompanying him. But yet, he would not be deterred, and he came and gave public thanks to Jesus Christ. Will we be deterred from giving public thanks to Jesus Christ? It's easy to sing God's praises and to thank God and Jesus Christ in church. It's easy to open the psalter and sing when everyone else here believes the same as we do. That's where it must start, though. Young people, that's where it must start. Making confession of faith before the congregation, that's how we thank Jesus Christ. But it must not end there. We must also give thanks to Jesus Christ in the world. We must overcome peer pressure, beloved, and give thanks to Jesus Christ when those around us might sneer at us and look down upon us because of our love of Jesus Christ. We must not allow peer pressure to steal the glory from God, which is his due. We must not allow those around us to discourage us from thanking Jesus Christ and from living thankful lives of obedience before him. When it is not cruel to be thankful towards Jesus Christ, we must be thankful anyway. We must not be concerned about being cruel. We must be concerned about being faithful, about being thankful to him who cleansed us from all of our sins on the cross. But what explains the difference then? Why was one leper thankful and the other 9 were not? What is the ultimate reason, the ultimate explanation for this difference? The reason is this. One leper received more than mere physical help. That's all that the 9 received. Mere physical help. They did not receive salvation. Some believe here that we have an example of mercy shown to 10 nine of whom did not believe and perished in their unbelief. An example of common grace. But that is not what we have here. It's true that the 10 lepers at the beginning said, "Master, have mercy on us." That's true. They asked for mercy. Mercy is pity shown towards those who are miserable or wretched, and a desire to deliver from that misery and wretchedness, and the power to deliver from that misery and wretchedness. That is what mercy is. God's pity, with his desire to alleviate that misery, and his power to deliver from that misery. But these nine lepers, who were not thankful, did not receive mercy in the biblical sense. They did not receive the mercy of God. What they received was merely physical health. Because remember, our true misery is sin. It's not being a leper per se that is the true misery. The true misery is sin. But these nine lepers did not have an understanding of their sin. Even though they were walking billboards of misery, showing forth the misery and pollution of sin in their very lives, they had no understanding or consciousness of their own sin, and therefore they had no interest in being delivered from their sin. All they wanted was to be delivered from leprosy, and they knew. They had heard that this Jesus Christ can do just that. He can heal people from leprosy. So they wanted to meet Jesus Christ and have that benefit. But they did not care about their spiritual condition. They did not care about being delivered from their sin. Therefore, what they received from Jesus Christ was physical health. But with it, they received no mercy, no grace, and no salvation. And that's always the way with the reprobate who receive physical benefits from God. Perhaps they have a mountain of wealth. Perhaps they've never been sick in their entire life. But they do not have salvation, and therefore they do not have mercy or grace. What they have are good gifts from God, which God gives to them in order to harden them in their sins and expose their unbelief and wicked ingratitude. That is what these nine men received. Good health, but no salvation. But the one Samaritan leper, the thankful one, he did receive salvation. The text itself makes that very clear. Jesus says at the end of our text, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." That is, thy faith hath saved thee. The nine were now declared ceremonially clean, but they were morally unclean and still were loathsome in the sight of God because of their sins. The one was still ceremonially unclean, being a Samaritan, but he was now morally clean, declared righteous in the sight of God. What wonderful words he heard. "Thy faith hath saved thee." Jesus means, you were a loathsome leper, a picture of the corruption and pollution of sin, and I, by my blood, have washed thee from all of thy sins. Go in peace. That's what he heard. And we too, beloved, we who believe on Jesus Christ, we too have heard that. Christ laid down his life for us on the cross to cleanse us from all of our sins. And in the preaching of the gospel, week by week, we hear the same message that this leper heard. Beloved, thy sins are forgiven thee. My blood hath cleansed thee. Go in peace. That's what we hear every week from a faithful pulpit when the gospel is preached to us. This response of gratitude was the fruit of saving faith. Jesus said that this man had faith. He says, thy faith hath saved thee. The nine, they had a kind of faith as well. But their faith was not saving faith. Their faith was what we would call miraculous faith. They believed that Jesus Christ had the power to do miracles. But that was not very surprising in that day, because everyone knew that Jesus Christ could do miracles. The whole of Israel was filled with excitement at this Jesus Christ who could do miracles, healing lepers and raising the dead, and feeding 5,000 with loaves and fishes. This man could do all kinds of miracles. Even the Pharisees had to admit that. It was simply a miraculous faith that these men had. But they did not have faith in the Son of God. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. They simply followed him for his miracle. And once they got what they wanted, which was help, they were on their way, and they were never seen again. But this one Samaritan leper, he had true saving faith. Jesus confirms it. Thy faith hath saved thee, made thee whole, saved thee. That does not mean that his faith was the cause of his salvation or the ground for his salvation, but rather it was the instrument of his salvation. It was through faith that this man came into possession of Jesus Christ and of salvation. Faith is a bond which unites an elect sinner to Jesus Christ, and it is also that activity of believing on him for salvation, resting on him and trusting in him alone for all of our salvation. And that is what this man, this one Samaritan leper, had. He had it as a gift of God, given to him out of pure and free grace. This poor Samaritan leper then was engrafted into Jesus Christ and given the gift of faith to believe on Jesus Christ. And therefore he came to Jesus Christ and received salvation from Jesus Christ and showed that he had received salvation by his life of thankfulness after he was saved. This faith is a fruit of election. This Samaritan was not a member of the elect nation of Israel. He was not a son of Abraham according to the flesh, but he was a son of Abraham according to the Spirit. He was a true child of Abraham. The nine Jews were not. They were not true children of Abraham, for they had no faith. But the Samaritan was. And he shows evidence of his faith by his thankfulness to Jesus Christ. And we too are elect. We are children of Abraham, not according to the flesh, for we are Gentiles, but according to the Spirit. And we have that faith through grace given to us as a free gift. And we show forth that faith by our life of gratitude. Let's do that then this week and the rest of our lives for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for Jesus Christ who has cleansed us from all of our sins. We marvel at the great work which he does in the scriptures of which we have read, the great work of cleansing from leprosy, but we marvel even more at that much greater work of cleansing us from all of our sins. But we know that it took but a word to cleanse those men from leprosy. But it took much more to cleanse us from our sins. It took the life blood of Jesus Christ poured out for us on the cross. We thank thee that he was willing to do that for us. We will never understand the depth of that love, even through all eternity. But we thank thee, Lord, that we have eternity in order to praise thee and to thank thee for all of thy goodness to us. May we begin here. May we begin today to thank thee and to live lives of gratitude to thee, our great God in heaven. For Christ's sake, amen.